Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. We've got a great question from down in Dallas. Sherry emails us asking about the minivans. Can you use those minivans if you're staying at the Swan and the Dolphin? And how about using them to transfer from that place over to the Polynesian? We're going to answer that question and many more on today's show. But don't forget, today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. As you know, I just got back from my recent trip. But the great thing about Days to Go is I can reset the date, and I now see that we're down to 91 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2020, 48.6 magical miles. The temperatures are cooling off. Marathon Weekend will be here before you know it. You can do the same. Get excited for your next trip every time you look down at your Apple device. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're going to get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra. And every purchase really does help support everything we do here with the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. Share it with your friends and family. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1548 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. So glad to be back here in the studio recording some more shows. Thank you very, very much, everybody, for your kind words about last Friday's show that I kind of recorded guerrilla style during my trip last week down to Walt Disney World, checking out some new stuff. I got to give a shout out to all the listeners that came up and said hello. It was so fun getting to speak with folks briefly as we're walking through, like, say, Germany during Food and Wine Festival or watching Epcot Forever, maybe sharing a gondola, you know, when the Skyliner opened. We were everywhere. So thank you so much for coming up and making my trip that much better. And, next time we'll have to do it again when we're down there at the same time. So, again, appreciate you listening to the show and coming up and saying hello. It really did make my trip better. So joining me today, glad to have the ladies here. We're going to be answering your list of questions. Joining me from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, it's been a long time, 2 weeks since we've talked.
It has been, and I want to say thanks to everybody who came up to me and said hello while I was at Walt Disney World. Mike and I were like ships passing in the night. Like, I just didn't want to see him, you know, as he was getting there, I was leaving. But I had a number of listeners also come up and say hello as well. So thanks, guys, for saying hello. So that was very nice.
I did tell the pilot when we were coming in on approach, like, you were just getting ready to leave Epcot. I said, can we just do like one big loop around the city of Orlando?
Exactly.
And then put it down
because Ricky's almost clear.
That's it. Exactly. I was watching on Find My Friends. That's it. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, how's it been going?
So good. It's really been like a busy, crazy time of year for us right now. We have some new discounts at Walt Disney World. Just lots of crazy busy stuff, but it's a good time. I know that our agents really enjoy trying to help our guests save money, so that's been a good thing. But yes, busy. This is the fall busy time.
And Pam, you can appreciate this. You gotta love a surprise discount that gets dropped on a Friday. That's always a fun time.
Oh my god.
Hello, it's Friday. You got a discount.
I know, right? It's so crazy. But it is a good one. The other thing is, I think, is interesting is there is a component to one of the discounts that actually offers guests a gift card. And I think that we're slowly trying to explain this to guests. Some guests don't understand. Like, so I upgrade and I have to pay more for the pass, but then I get a gift card and it's like, yes and yes. Yes and yes and yes. I know it doesn't make a ton of sense, but yes. So sometimes you have to spend money to make money, I guess? Question mark. Is that the...
Sometimes.
I don't know if that's the thinking. At the end of the day,
that's how it works.
Yeah.
And with some packages, you're getting gift cards from us and from the Magic for Less and
Disney. Yeah, that's
true. You're like a gift card like vending machine by the time you get there.
we're doing this.
you're just like making it rain gift cards. Like, hey, Disney, what's going on?
Absolutely. All right.
First question of the day. Let's get to it. We're going. This is not good. All right, Sherry's got the first question. She's down in Dallas. She says, hey, BOGP crew, can anyone use minivans or just those staying at a Walt Disney World resort? We have friends who'll be staying at the Swan for the first half of their trip before transferring to the Polynesian, but we're hoping to still use the same mini fleet. Thanks so much, Sherry. Ricky, what say you about the minivans?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I do believe that you probably can because you're on Disney property and the, you know, Lyft app service that you're using will pull up minivan probably if you're anywhere on Walt Disney World property. So I would think that you can.
Pam, did you look that up? You have verification of that?
Yep. You absolutely can.
Sounds good. All right, we have a question from 649 miles from the world. This is from Courtney. I guess you just got to build, like, you know, take a compass and you could be anywhere in that circle. Says, hey, Mike, I'm a newer listener from New Orleans. And last year,
there's the answer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, see, I just got to read. I mean,
reading is fundamental, Mike.
Novel idea. She put it right there in her topic sentence. Very good.
Yep.
And really got into running. My husband and I ran our first Disney race at Star Wars 5K this year. I just signed up last minute to run the Walt Disney World Half Marathon for 2020, loving that Donald medal so much I couldn't help myself. Oh, let me just warn you, Courtney. If you start looking at the medals, you'll sign up for everything.
Yeah, you'll be in trouble.
Don't get medal, needing. All right, my mom and aunt are making the trip out to Disney with me, and I have a question about the finish line. Since our first run Disney race was pretty much rained out, but still so much fun for us, I really don't know what to expect at the Half Marathon finish line. Will my family be able to meet me at the end without a cheer squad package? And are there character photo ops after the race that they can join in the pictures with me? Thanks for the advice y'all give. The podcast has been super helpful planning my upcoming trips for Marathon Weekend and the Princess Half Marathon. Courtney. All right, so let me jump on this one because I've been across a few of these finish lines. Have your head on a swivel when you cross that half marathon finish line. Sometimes people propose. That's pretty sweet.
Jay and Melissa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was talking about. I saw a proposal on my last trip on Main Street when I was at the Magic Kingdom. Like, all of a sudden, this guy, girl's getting a picture taken, and all of a sudden, he's down on one knee pulling out a ring, and all Main Street's cheering. I was like, I choked up a little.
Oh, I bet kinda, you did.
Yeah. Okay. And I called my wife and told her I love her.
That's
nice. So,
sweet.
Finish line, though, what they want to do with the marathon finish lines and all the finish lines for kind of all the distances at Walt Disney World, they want to get you clear of the actual finish line itself. Now, what you want to do when you're crossing the finish line, there's cameras everywhere, photo pass people. So you want to make sure that you, like, put your arms up, you got to look good when you go down that chute. Like, be ready. Don't have the miserable, I hate running for 13 miles. Like, even if you hated it the whole time, just fake it for the pictures when you go across the line, because you're going to have those forever and they look really cool. So I'm telling you, I've been there. I've had bad races where I'm just like hating life. But you know what? I get that line. I'm like, oh man, this was the greatest run ever. And then as soon as I get clear of the cameras, I'm back to looking terrible. So now your family can, there's a bunch of stands there at the end, and those are kind of first come, first serve. So they can get up there, but they got to get there early. But they can do that and watch across the finish line, but have them get there early. Photo ops, you can get photo ops. There are some pictures where you could get them as a family, like way clear of the post-race area. What they're going to have is you get your medal and your drink and your goodie box with your food and your cooling towel and all that stuff. You're going to move into an area where they're going to take you're still in the runner only area where you'll get your picture taken with your medal and like a backdrop or like a paddle that says the distance, something like that. Your family can't join you for that because they don't let you back. That's in the runner only area. Once you clear the runner area, though, you can go, and there's usually, as long as you're not too late, there will be some characters over by the DJ, and you can get your picture there. But you know what? If you want to get some without the family, get them before the race. You look better, and the characters are there, so get there early. So, Ricky, anything else you have from your running races stuff?
No, because I wanted to die at the end of my half, so I was like, but I did the thing you did. We crossed the finish line and hand in hand, so that was the best part, because I finished with Florence and Jocelyn and Naomi, we all did it hand in hand, so that was nice.
Oh, that was a shout out to Illuminations. I like what you did there.
Yeah, there you go.
Talking about that on Friday. Teaser.
Yes.
All right. Next question is coming from Lauren. It says, WDW newbie. Hello, BOGP ladies and Mike. I want to first give Mike a huge thank you for helping my best friend and I plan our, perfect BFF WDW trip. Hurricane Dorian decided to try and make a landfall right before we were to arrive. Mike helped us out by adding a day onto our stay and was quick in action. We had a blast and are planning a second trip for for May 2020. There you go. See, if a hurricane comes,
that's right.
That gives you an excuse to plan another trip.
There you go.
And then you just show Dorian what's up. Say, Dorian, exactly. Whatever. Anyway, she says, I have a few questions for y'all in regards to our upcoming May 2020 trip. Okay, so get ready. Question one. She's got three. A girlfriend of mine, Jess, is coming down with my best friend, Steven, and myself for her first Walt Disney World trip, and we're planning on using Magical Express to get to and from the airport. My girlfriend and I are leaving our husbands behind and flying to Houston to meet up with my best friend, and then it is on to MCO. Once we arrive there, we're going to use Magical Express to get to the beach club. My question is, on our checkout day, Jess and I are flying back to Dallas from Orlando, and Steven's flying back to Houston. As long as our departure flights are at similar times, we'll be able to leave the beach club on the same Magical Express bus. So, Pam, walk her through how Magical Express return is. You don't use it very often. You know how it works.
I do know.
Go ahead. I was thinking you don't take it very often.
I almost lost my headphones there. So, with Magical Express, the time of your pickup is actually determined by the time of your flight. So you input those details, your flight number and whatnot, for doing that. And then it sort of spits out the time. And then the night before you are scheduled to leave. So you sort of get it the morning before the day that you're scheduled to leave. You will have a little, often hanging from your door, the Magical Express little envelope there. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, the sad envelope. I hate
saying
that.
Right? I know that, right? And it will tell you your pickup time for that. And as long as you're staying at the same resort and your flight is within probably 15 minutes of each other or so, then you should be on the same bus going back.
Yeah, and the thing is, remember there were days where I used to not fly, and so I was super excited to ride Magical Express because it was a novel thing for me years ago, and I thought, it's just like a Walt Disney World transportation bus, and my first time going back, I thought, you show up, you don't need that paper, you just hop on a Magical, you to have your paper out, proving that you're on that bus and all that, so you can't really, it is kind of strict as far as, they'll tell you where to be and what time to be there, and you can't miss it, it's a big old mess if you do, so don't. All right, question number two. Like our September 2019 trip, this trip will be an adult-focused trip. We arrive on a Thursday and only have park tickets for Friday and Saturday. All three of us are foodies and, more importantly, like a great wine. On our first day, Steven and I are taking Jess the newbie on a monorail pub crawl and having dinner at California Grill to watch the fireworks and enjoy some good or great food and wine. When we were there in September, Misner's was still closed. Have y'all heard when it's supposed to reopen? That's good timing. I know. Good timing on this. I'm glad I waited a week to answer this one. She says the Grand Floridian was the least exciting stop on the crawl, and I hope to try the new Misner's Lounge. Any good drink recommendations? All right, so Ricky, give the good news on that, and then Pam, if you have any good drink recommendations, because Ricky will say milk. Okay, so go ahead.
Correct, exactly. It is open. Good news. It was surprisingly opened this past weekend, so hooray, it's open. It's definitely an upgrade from Misner's Lounge when that existed, I feel like. Misner's Lounge was kind of small and tucked back just back there behind the orchestra. So I feel like this is a much better location and it's much bigger and more room for people to enjoy cocktails and or snacks. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I thought that from the concept art, I gotta say, from the concept art, the chandelier that they had that's supposed to look like Belle's dress, I expected it to look more like flowy like a dress, and it does not look like a dress at all. It just looks like things just hanging from the ceiling, and I was like, well, that's a choice. Okay, and
you know what it is, it's a chandelier Disney bounding is Belle.
I guess, yes, it's definitely Disney bounding.
That's what it looks like when a chandelier bounds.
It looks beautiful. The only thing that's weird is it's like dark blue, and the Grand Floridian is decidedly not dark blue. It's very white and pink, and so that's kind of a bit jarring, I think, if you see it from a distance. But inside, it's very lovely, so that's good. That's wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Pam, what are they getting to drink? What's good at Misner's? Did it change with the new theme? I'm sure it did. Yeah, so what looks good?
There are some new drinks, including some featured cocktails that sort of have, I don't know, they have an Island Rose, which I think is, you know, I think that they called it Island because of maybe the fact that there's lime and some pineapple and stuff in there. But anyways, that one sounds kind of good. I haven't had a chance to try any of these yet, but it has some Kettle One grapefruit and some rose water and pineapple and bitters and things like that. They have a Floral Bitter Beauty, which is a gin drink with that Saint Germain elderflower liqueur, which they seem to have in a bunch of different things. But it also has Aperol and lemon and soda. They also have a Lavender Fog, which is a gin drink as well, and has some English breakfast tea in it. How about that, right?
Right, yeah.
Then they have a few different tequila drinks, including a Garden Daisy and a Sunny Margarita. And then a whiskey drink called Why Not, which I thought was kind of cute. It's with Grand Marnier and some cinnamon, which is always interesting to find in a drink. And then they have a seasonal Old Fashioned. But the other thing that I thought was good about this as well is they had some different kinds of champagne in there, which I think is a nice touch. Sort of goes with that. They have some beverages without alcohol, some interesting beverages like a Garden Spritzer and a B&B, which again has some tea in it. There's a rosemary cooler. I like anything that has rosemary in it, so looking forward to that. Then they have a bunch of different beers, wines, and other sparkling things. They also have a food menu there, so remember that. And they do have some of the famous Grand Floridian cocktails that are sort of, they've always sort of been there at the Grand. So make sure that you check out the menu. That it's like a page upon page upon page menu.
So. And I will put out the shameless plug. We have the menu on the Mouse for Less. So go check it out there. Yes. Boom.
Check it out today. All right. Question number three, the last one for Lauren. She says, Jess is a Walt Disney World newbie. However, she's been to Disneyland. She was intrigued by all the beautiful photos I took in World Showcase and demanded we plan another trip so she could go with us. I decided to have an Epcot-heavy trip. We're staying at the Beach Club and are only going to make an appearance in the studios and Animal Kingdom one time each. Do y'all have any suggestions for taking a 40-year-old woman on her first Walt Disney World trip? She isn't as into the Mickey craze, Disney princesses, or characters as some others. I'm thinking heavy on World Showcase and good food and good drinks. She's expressed interest in Soarin', Tower of Terror, and Flight of Passage. Any great little drink spots or unique shopping in Epcot I shouldn't overlook? Thanks for all the Disney magic you guys provide 3 days a week and daily on Magical Mouse Radio. Lauren's also down in Dallas, Texas. All right, so Ricky, real quick, because we got a lot of the questions. But this 40-year-old woman trying to, you know, get her fixed, but she's not in, you know, doesn't need the princesses or the characters, that kind of stuff. What are you thinking?
Well, the good news is that you can definitely cater. That's the best part about a Walt Disney World vacation is if you don't want to do the princesses or characters or things like that, you don't have to. So that's the best part. Great bar areas in Epcot. I was thinking of the Tutto Gusto wine cellar. I think that would be a great little option, as well as we know Jocelyn's favorite, which is the Boulangerie, which is all the way back in the back of France, which is a great little stop as well. They have some great snacks as well as some great beverages. So that's kind of an option. But, you know, I'm not 40 yet, but as someone who's getting ever closer to
me
it,
neither.
There are plenty of things that you can do without seeing characters and doing like the really like, you know, quote kiddie things at Walt Disney World. You'll have a really good time. I can guarantee you. Just kind of ease her into it. Don't throw it all at once. That's always my best advice for taking someone who's a newbie is don't overload them. That's kind of what I did with my mother-in-law. I didn't overload her when I took her for the first time to Epcot. We just kind of perused around. During the time that you'll be there, there'll be the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival as well, so you'll get to have all the food booths for that. And the Flower and Garden Festival is seriously my best time, one of my favorite times. I know I say that a lot, but the Festival of the Arts is my favorite. Flower and Garden's right behind it. And I love the topiaries, and you know, there's all the great food and beverage options that you can get around for food and Flower and Garden too. So keep that in mind as well as an option for you.
So I'm gonna throw in quickly, on the day you go over to the studios to ride Tower of Terror with your friend, don't rush that day. There's a lot of, you know, the studios is no longer a half day park. You got, I think your friend would probably really enjoy Streetmosphere characters, and they were out in force when I was down last week. So that's something. Also, two places I would take her as far as the food and the drink. Brown Derby Lounge right there on Sunset and Hollywood, yeah. And Sunset, because you're gonna, that kind of takes you right down to Tower, and the Baseline Tap House, I think, might be a good match for you. So anything else, Pam, before we move on to the next question?
I, you know, of course, you know that I like the Brown Derby Lounge, so I'm going to go ahead and give that a plug.
I also want to say, if they're going to Animal Kingdom, Tamu, I think is really popular as well, but, with people. So you might want to stop there. Oh, also, Nomad Lounge.
Yep,
is a great option. Yeah, really, yeah. Relaxing. Yeah,
for sure.
All right, Jennifer's got a question here in the live chat. We record live on Mondays, usually around 5:45 Eastern, so drop on in and say hi. She says, hi, I have a Sunday and Monday night in early December in Disney World. I've barely seen the Christmas party and have never seen Candlelight Processional in person, Fantasmic, or Jingle Bell Jingle.
Bam!
I will have seen Epcot Forever by then. There also is an opportunity for Magic Kingdom evening after hours, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., what's your recommendation for these two nights? I have an annual pass, car, and we'll be staying at the Four Seasons. Thanks, and go Blues. That's right, LGB. All right, so my thing is, Candlelight Processional, you got to see it. Like, seriously. Even if you're standing in the back. I love Candlelight. You don't have to do the package. I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. If she wants to make sure she sees it, I don't know.
You want to spend the money.
I would consider it.
Are you kidding me? The lines are so bad for that anymore.
They are.
So that's one night. Okay, so, and then out of the other things, after hours at the Magic Kingdom, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, Fantasmic. I'd do Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. That's just a fun little show. That's really grown on me. I like that show.
Hollywood Studios blows it out.
Yes, it's awesome at Christmas.
For holidays. And I know this year Animal Kingdom is going to be getting all of their stuff as well for the holidays. But since we haven't seen it yet, I don't actually know, you know, how it's going to be. But Hollywood Studios, seriously, like, they completely transformed that park. You have Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. And then you have the Sunset Showcase shows that happen on the Tower of Terror. You know, the park is simply gorgeous. They really do a fantastic job. And you know, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is fine. It is not my favorite. Halloween Party is definitely my favorite overall.
Whoa. Do you get to wear, is it cool to wear PJs to the party?
I mean, if you'd like, I guess.
Is it
sure.
Like, is that, that's
I'd
become
rather
a
wear
thing
my
over the last couple
sweater,
of years.
Which I'm so excited about. I have a new sweater this year, and it's got a lamb in the middle, and it says Bah Humbug, and I'm so excited to wear it. Anyway. It's got a lamb like sticking out of the sweater. It's so tacky.
Hang on, I'm muting my mic for the next 5 minutes.
So anyway, but you know, I think that I just the Christmas party is fine, but it just lacks to me, especially the Magic Kingdom compared to Hollywood Studios. Like I said, Hollywood Studios feels way more Christmassy than Magic Kingdom does to me at this point in the game. So I know that's kind of heresy to say, but
I mean, what I like though is you got options now. Like, if you want to get in the Christmas spirit, you can go to the studios, you can go to Animal Kingdom, you can go to Festival of the Holidays over at Epcot. You don't have to pay the extra. You know, but the Christmas party's fun. I mean, I'm
love
a Christmas,
the Christmas
nut.
Party. Yeah, so I'm going to say, same. Like, see, I love it. I really do. And what's funny is, like, I wasn't sure how I was feeling about it until we did it last year again.
Got it.
And I thought it was so much better. I just really did. I liked the way that they gave snacks now. It was so much easier than it had been in the past. I love the entertainment. And that Christmas parade is like goes down in like my all-time list of things I want to do at the holidays. So.
And reality check for everybody, the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, 1 month away.
So crazy.
Oh, God.
Strap in, people.
No.
Right. So crazy.
That's nuts. All right. Logan's got a question here in the live chat, and we appreciate everybody being in here. It says, throwing a question in the chat. Hi, all. I just booked a trip for early May 2020 yesterday. Split stay between Wilderness Lodge and Beach Club. My husband and I want to do one day in Galaxy's Edge and have a late afternoon drink at Olga's Cantina. I got to tell a story about that on Friday show. Don't let me forget.
All right.
We are then thinking about getting dinner in Hollywood Studios, but can't decide where. We've heard mixed reviews of the table service places at Hollywood Studios, so debating if we should head back to the Boardwalk area or Epcot for dinner instead. I would love all your advice. Thanks. And then, our chat room's awesome. It's like a big community. Everybody's talking back and forth in here. This came in about 10 minutes ago. People are really giving a lot of love to Mama Melrose, which I like, too. I think it's underrated, and it's kind of hidden in studios. I think everybody should give it a shot at least once. We go there a lot, and it's not expensive. That's why we go. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Pam? Table service at the studio?
I know where she's going to say.
I know. See, I don't love any of the table service restaurants at the studio, but I do love the Brown Derby Lounge, mm-hmm. and I do love Baseline. And I know they're not table service, but I'll tell you what. My family, if they cannot make a dinner out of a charcuterie plate and some cheese, then they're going to be sad people.
And a pretzel. Yes.
And a pretzel. Yes. Right. Yes. How can that not be dinner? I'm just saying. That's like an entree and side dishes and a dessert. Hello.
Exactly. Yes. So,
no, but, and I think in May especially, it's going to be so nice to sit outside. And see in the weather, and where we're from, we can't do that of many times of the year. They also have the famous Brown Derby salad served out there at the lounge too. So there's really lots of great choices. So I'm gonna say that, but if you're gonna eat table service, I would really take a look at the menus. I'm not a huge fan of sci-fi. I think it's fine. I don't think it's horrible like it used to be. Remember when it used to be like everyone talked about how awful sci-fi was, but yeah. It has really improved since then. It does what it knows, which is really burgers and onion rings and nachos and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, now. You're there for like the bar pub type food.
For sure.
You're not there for fancy meal, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is too, with those two restaurants, I think you got to kind of put like different goals in mind. Cause like when I was down there last week, I went into Tune In Lounge and had a meatloaf dinner right at the bar with my milkshake, PB&J milkshake. It was awesome because I like that food, cause it's like comfort food. It's like going to Cracker Barrel, it's like, it's not fancy, but it's comfort food. But here's the thing, like at the studios with sci-fi and, 50s Primetime, and Erica's kind of mentioned in this, like if you want to see Fantasmic, it's kind of a good deal to make a Fantasmic dining package, eat at one of those places, you're going to get guaranteed seating, and it's actually a really good deal. I've done it a few times. But the thing is, like, they're really unique environments. You're not really going for the food, you're going for the atmosphere and the experience at 50s Primetime and sci-fi. So, as nice as the food's going to be, and probably better at Epcot or one of the, Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club resorts on your walk home, I think you can't get a show, like an experience like you would at the studios. So it just depends on the goal of your meal, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is true. And it is a great point. And I think there's a lot of times why sometimes you end up eating at a restaurant. You have to look at the total picture. You have to look at the total package. Like, what are you getting? What are your goals for that day, that evening? I think that sometimes a lot of those dinner shows are awesome, and especially at some of the ones like Mama Melrose and the Hollywood and Vine, because that's one table service credit that you're getting to use for that Fantasmic dining option. Again, we've talked about this for the past, couple weeks, but the dining plan is, you're getting your value out of that one meal, basically. And you still have the snacks and quick service available. So,
and Mickey bars are $6 now.
Oh,
yikes. Dude, I eat so many of those things, I'm going to be broke.
Yep. You better get the quick service plan.
Well,
figure, that's $12. That's, you can get two of those a day. That's $12 out of your $70 thing a day.
I'll
that's
be
before
honest.
You eat your quick service and table.
That's true. I've switched over to the ice cream sandwiches. Probably worse.
That's
still
$6.
They're same price.
Still $6.
Yeah. I think they're more filling because I'm trying to be frugal about it. They're both ice cream and chocolate,
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Greg's got a question in live chat. Greetings all. Mike, with Illuminations gone, are you going to keep, are you going to change the outro music to the podcast or keep it so we can always have a memory of Illuminations?
Never.
We are changing it.
No, you're such a liar.
Just kidding. We're not changing it. I love Illuminations. And also, it's too much work.
You change it, I riot. No, I'm just joking.
We have Fantasmic at the front and Illuminations at the end. And if you notice that Wedway Radio has always, since the beginning, they have Illuminations at the beginning and Fantasmic at the end.
They do.
And we totally did not get together to make that happen. I just noticed that one day when I was listening. Colleen also, she was down there with her family at Walt Disney World while I was there. We just didn't get to cross paths. It was crazy times. But she said they did the ABC commissary and the burgers were good. And my husband's ribs were amazing in all caps. My favorite restaurant for sit down, though, is Prime Time. So there's a little feedback.
Well, ABC commissary, just for people who don't know, at dinner, they have gone to a kind of reservation system. So you can make a reservation for ABC commissary. Now, remember, ABC commissary is technically a counter service location. So you will go and place your order at the window and then you will go sit down and then they will bring their food to you. So you can technically make a reservation for it in the evening if you would like to eat there for dinner. But, you know, I think you can probably get away with not having that reservation. Now, lunch is still quick service, so you'll still have to wait at the, you know, counter to pick up your food. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Lunch does not require a reservation either.
So. Let me just throw out this pro tip, which we've been saying for about 6 months. Here's the thing, everybody, this is just for us, just for, you know, us three right here recording the show and everybody listening today. So if anybody's looking at you and you don't have your earbuds plugged in, make sure you plug in your earbuds real quick so they don't hear this. This is just for you. Mobile order is the best hack ever. I'm telling you, like, even if you're not even like planning way ahead, when you get to the restaurant, like at Columbia Harbor House at the lunch rush, I mean, even if you didn't think ahead, boom, just order that stuff and you're going to have your time easy. But I mean, if you can order it, like when you get off an attraction and just walk over there, I'm telling you, like, if everybody uses it, it's not going to be as effective. But I mean, right now is like the glory time to use mobile order. Use it and use it often.
Amen. Yes. Testify.
Agreed.
Testify, Mike Roman.
Oh, man. It's almost like you're cheating the system every time you use it. It's crazy.
You're taking me to church right now.
That's it. Tartare bell. All right, next question. Epcot Forever question from Michael. He's in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2,363 miles from the world. Hey, BOGP gang. Mike, I know you've experienced the new Epcot Forever show. I was wondering if you had any tips on what spots provide the best viewing location for the show. Also, how early do you think we should get into that spot? If it will help, we'll be in Epcot on December 11th. Thanks, Michael. Here's good news about Epcot Forever, and we'll talk about this a little bit more on Friday, is that, and Len kind of talked about this on his show this week as well, that most of the show is up in the air. I would try to get on the rail once if you can, you know, close to the lagoon, simply for the kites, because I was standing back in Japan when I saw the opening night and it was fine. I got to see everything. The only thing you really got to worry about is like a tree or an obstruction. Really everything else is going to kind of be fair game because it's mostly fireworks. But I will say that the glowing kites, those were amazing. But they literally, from where I was standing way back, you know, kind of in deeper in Japan, like behind where the people walk through the promenade, is that to me from there, it appeared those kites were flying over the people. Now, I knew they weren't for safety reasons, but it looked like it. So if you're like right up on that rail, those things are going to almost be over you. So I would say just anywhere around the lagoon where you don't have an obstruction, but, you know, closer you can get, probably the better. Where's your now that Illuminations is over, Pam, like, where was your go-to spot? Like, if you had an ideal spot, was there a certain country, or did you see it from, like, the merge of Future World and World Showcase? Where'd you go?
So there were a few places I liked. Every now and then, when I had a fast pass that I wanted to use, I really did sort of like that fast pass viewing area. It sort of makes you feel closer to that area than any other location. More so than Mexico or France or things like, well, besides being on a boat, actually.
Yeah, on a boat is definitely the closest.
Yeah, let me say, the Grand One, that's a pretty sweet view.
So anyways, that was really cool. But the other place I really liked was Japan. And part of it was because you typically just roll up and you could, you know, get a good, decent spot for it. But I also like the pictures with the Torii Gate there. I think it made like a really cool kind of object in the foreground right there where you could take some pictures. So I really liked that too.
Total accident. I just happened to be there. But yeah, thank you. I got it. No, that's right. That's where I got my picture Epcot Forever, because I met up with, this is like old school listener day, Katie and Jillian.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So fun seeing them. All right, so let's get to the next question. It's from Jason in the live chat. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Question for the ladies.
Hey, that's us.
Sorry, I'm out. See ya. I'm going to go drink my Diet Coke out of the grenade. Let's see. I may have a trip to Southern California coming up in the next 2 weeks.
That would be why it's for us.
That's it. It's a total surprise to me. Any recommendations for things to do in Disney property without going into the park, since it'll be my first time and I won't be going with my family? Jason, I like your restraint. You're waiting for your family.
That is hard.
Have fun. You're still going to go in the parks probably. Sure. So just your secret's safe with us. What happens in Disneyland stays in Disneyland. Anyway, just act like it's a surprise the next time you go. No, so Pam, what would you suggest? I mean, I would think Downtown Disney, right?
There is, and it is still Downtown Disney at Disneyland. So I would absolutely spend some time in Downtown Disney. They have some great restaurants. Check out the menu. See what really appeals to you, because there's just a broad range of things, from quick service locations to table service locations to even more formal locations and a lot of bars. In California, again, they get to eat outside a lot, and it's beautiful there. Really and truly, I just love picking one of the locations that has outdoor seating and sitting and enjoying it. And of course, they have that fantastic ice cream location that has the most interesting ice cream flavors, like olive and goat cheese. And I'm telling you, though, they're all good. Go and try that. Of course, it's called
Salt and Straw.
Yeah, the name popped out.
Yeah.
But the other thing you can do is absolutely visit some of the on-property hotels there at Disneyland. Now, I know there are so many people who say you don't have to stay on site when you visit Disneyland because there are off-site hotels located close to Disneyland. But for me, someone who enjoys the whole vacation experience, and I'm looking for that resort experience in a bubble, if possible, it is imperative that I stay at one of the Disneyland hotels. You have the Grand Californian, which is really a sort of more sleek version of the Wilderness Lodge. It's not quite so rustic. It's more arts and crafts style. And that lobby is spectacular. There's also some great eating locations there. Their quick service location is great. Their lounge is great. But Napa Rose is awesome. So if you really are looking for some kind of fine dining, try there. Then you have the Disneyland Hotel, which to me just feels so nostalgic. I love it. From the lobby with the teacups sort of seating areas in the lobby to the pools that have the monorail and things like that, you'll love that. And again, there's some great eating locations there as well, including the quick service location and Trader Sam's. So don't miss that. And then, of course, there is Paradise Pier, which has sort of a beach blankety themed buffet in the morning. And again, not quite so over the top Disney, but they typically do a really cool lobby display if you're going to be there near any of the holidays. So you might want to check that out too. But again, just like really, I think, suck up the whole atmosphere because it really is there. I love walking through that Downtown Disney area in the morning. So good.
Fun. All right, let's get to the last question of the day. We're going to give it to Colleen because I miss seeing her down at Walt Disney World and I feel terrible. It was just crazy. We were all over the place. I was all over the Skywalkers, Skyliners.
You were all over the Skywalkers. That's a good name for them. All right.
There you go. It was a nice synergy. All right. Colleen says, for a two-night anniversary trip, would you recommend Coronado Springs or Four Seasons? I like the food and drink offerings at Coronado and the views, but we just learned about the Four Seasons on property, and it looks beautiful. But we don't know much about it. All right, Pam. So talk about the pros and the cons of... because I'm a huge Coronado fan. I think it's got everything. And it's romantic. It's beautiful. It's new. It's the new hotness. I don't know, but I haven't done Four Seasons. So what do you think?
So I think the thing that sways most people off the Four Seasons is the price. I'm just going to be honest and put that right up front. That's probably the one thing that most people, that becomes the larger detractor. Not that it's not a beautiful location and just a beautiful resort period. It really is. It's stunningly beautiful. So think about that and think about whether or not it's important for you to be on Disney property. Are you going to use the dining plan? Are you going to want to use Magical Express to come to and from the airport? Are you going to want to have magic bands? Are you going to want to be able to charge to your room? All those things, because those are options that the Four Seasons does not have. Although it is on Disney property, it is not an official Disney Resort hotel that allows those kind of things. So just think about those. I will say the Four Seasons has a fantastic steak restaurant, which you can visit even if you're not staying there. We ate there for Steve's birthday. Well, I guess it was this year.
It was the summer because that was all Scott talked about for like 3 days. Yeah, like, dude, really stop talking about the restaurant.
It was so good, really and truly. So you may want to visit there even if you're not staying there. And that could give you a little flavor for it to see if you want to visit it in the future. I do think that Coronado is a great location. If I were celebrating the anniversary, I'd absolutely want to be in the Grandestino Tower. I'm just saying. And I don't know even which side of the resort I would rather be on, because they both have pluses and minuses. On one side, of course, you're going to be able to see Galaxy's Edge and Hollywood Studios, which is awesome. And on the other side, you are going to be able to see the beautiful Coronado Springs Resort at your feet there. And you could probably catch a view of either Everest or the Magic Kingdom, or both, depending on where you stay. So there's lots of great options for both. I really just think it's a matter of what you're really looking for and what your budget allows.
Okay, so let's do this real quick because we're closing this show out. So if you had to pick one right now, I'm going Coronado Springs for the overall experience and visiting Four Seasons for a meal. That's my choice. Ricky, you.
I think I would agree. Unless it's like a really big anniversary, then I would consider the Four Seasons, just, you know, to celebrate big.
I like anniversaries like 8 and like 11 and 17. Like those are just, they're undersold, you know, like I root for the underdog.
There you go.
Forget
that's
like
a good
10.
Call.
Yeah, whatever. Like, so Pam, overall, what would you take? Like, I mean, if you had to pick, I like the kind of stay one and visit the other.
I like your analogy or your explanation there about the different anniversaries, because any anniversary I think is a good
exactly.
That's true. It's a good
dude,
point.
I cheer. I mean, Pam stayed with me for one more year. Heck yeah, that's a win.
So I think that's a good thing. Like I've said a bunch of times, when I'm visiting Walt Disney World, I really enjoy being part of that bubble. I like having the most all-inclusive experience I can, and I like it to be easy peasy. So I think that staying at Coronado is a little easier than it is at the Four Seasons. But the Four Seasons is also spectacular. So, to me, that would really be a challenge for me to do. I'm not going to pick, and you can't make me.
That's it. And that's how we're wrapping today's show. All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, we have a plethora of news. So what yes, are we reading about this week on the app?
We definitely have a plethora of news, but I'm going to go with something that probably won't be talked about very much, and that is the Disney's Animal Kingdom Tasting Sampler is returning once again this winter. So guests will be able to purchase a digital card, which will allow you to taste your way around Animal Kingdoms, enjoying some of the park's carts, kiosks, and then after 4 p.m., you can enjoy some quick service restaurants. The sampler card costs $50, and it includes two digital value cards. One is a $50 card that can be used at over 40 outdoor food and beverage locations throughout the park. It does not expire. And there is a bonus $10 card that can be used at quick service locations after 4 p.m. for only from December 22nd, though, through January 4th. And you also get a reserved seat, two reserved seats, I should say, for the second showing of Rivers of Light, We Are One, which also must be used between December 22nd and January 4th. So if you are going in that time period, I think this is a great option if you're going to go to Disney's Animal Kingdom and you're looking at trying some great snacks around the park. Some of the things that they have listed here sound amazing. Like, they have char siu pork with sticky rice. They have fried chicken dumplings. They have buffalo chicken chips. I don't know what this is, and I don't know how I feel about it. A pulled pork jelly donut slider.
That sounds like minor league baseball food right there.
That sounds awful. Yeah, so this is an option. Now, it's a digital gift card, so it's actually going to be emailed to you, and it will have a barcode that you can put in your phone's digital wallet on your mobile phone, and that will be scanned at the food and beverage locations. So, park. So it's very different than the regular, you know, Disney gift cards and other plans that they have. So that's why I kind of wanted to specify how the whole thing worked. So,
all right. So if you want to keep up with everything going on down at Walt Disney World Theme Park News Disney Edition, it's a free iOS app. It's going to look great on that iPhone 11 that you just got. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're going to get all your Prime benefits. It's going to cost you nothing at all extra. And every purchase does help support the show. So before you go on Amazon, if you see somebody getting ready to buy some socks on Amazon today, freeze. Did you click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon? Yell that out. And if they didn't, go take over their browser and then let them do all the shopping they want. Whatever it takes. So again, please support the show that way. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday talking about our recent trips down to Walt Disney World, all the news going on. Lots of thoughts to share a week later. Can't wait to talk about it. So hope you'll be there for that. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.